to begin. Today's daf is daf Chof Dalet. We're holding in the middle of this very exciting sugya, which has implications for all over Shas. Rabbi Chanina yesterday told us that Rov v'korov ruba izodiv. We follow the Rov, even where we have a korov. We got all excited about the questions of the interrelationships between the Mishnah that we have over here, Lagabi the Shovach, where clearly the population of the Shovach should have made a difference. Seems to be ignored in the Mishnah. The Mishnah seems to be talking about Korov. Rabbi Chanina tells us a very counterintuitive approach both to this sugya and to the sugya of Yir HaNidachat, which also seems to ignore Rov, and he claims that that the essential is actually Rov, and that all the cases of Korov are only talking about where we balance out all other factors. We asked a lot of questions, and we were not able to show that there was a problem with Rabbi Chanina. In fact, today, on the last word of the third line, Abaye begins to bring a raya to Rabbi Chanina. Amra Abaye, afa na nami tanina. I actually can prove to you from a Mishnah that Rabbi Chanina is right. Because when it comes to the question of determining whether we have dam nidot, so we have to take into consideration two issues. Depending on where the dam is found, I'm going to give you the approach that makes the most sense. There are many who try to read this into Rashi. We spoke about it a lot in Masechet Nidah, to try to make sense of the picture that Chazal give us of the reproductive tract of a woman. And the only way that made sense, even though, and there are Rishonim that say it beferish, by the way, including Rabbi Chananah, but it's possible with a lot of kvetching to fit it in even to Rashi, is that what we're talking about over here, dam shenimtza b'prozdor, which is usually taken to mean the vagina, actually, if we understand that it means the prozdor, which is the Latin term, the vestibule, which is the area between the labia before the vagina, then what we have is a situation where you have the urethra coming down from on top, which would be called the lul. The bladder would be on top of that, which is called the aliyah, rather. And then the cheder itself would be the womb plus the vagina. The lips around the outside of the vagina. It's just that what we need to understand is how there would be this thing called a lul, which does not exist, if we understand that we're talking about a prozdor being a vagina. So basically what we need to understand, and the cheder being only the womb, because there is nothing between, if you take a look at the entry to the vagina till the uterus, there's nothing there that could have generated, there is no lul and there is no aliyah. The only thing that could possibly be referring to with a lul and an aliyah is the bladder, which would be an aliyah, so to speak, above the area of, but it's only in the very front area, so it would be around the labia. And then there would be the lul, which would be basically where the urine comes from, so that it's possible to have bleeding from the lul, but it's very rare. So that we're not going to worry about bleeding from the bladder and the urethra, we're just going to worry about the normal bleeding, which would be the dam nidos. So it says, Abaye afana na mitanina, dam shenimtza beprozdor sveko tamei shechazkato min amikor. So if you find blood now in this area of the prozdor, outside of the vagina, at the opening, it's definitely tamei, because the chazoka is that this dam comes from the uterus, afa gav diika aliyah de mekarva. Even though you could say, but I mean, closer to this is the actual blood that might come from bleeding with problems in the urinary tract. Maybe she has a urinary infection. How do we know that that's not where the bleeding is from? And that's closer than the blood that would be coming from the mikor. So why don't we go according to where it's correct? So you see that you go according to Rove. So everything seems to be very clear. Aliba the Rebbe Chanina.
Why is the president considered closer to the
Because it is. But I mean, it's right there. The urinary tract empties right at the opening of the vagina, which would be the prozdor, according to this approach.
The labia?
No, the vagina is the long tract beyond the labia. But if we call the prozdor, the way it was used in Latin is exactly, they use the word vestibulus. Vestibulus to the vagina is the prozdor in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. So it makes a great deal of sense to say that that's what it's referring to. So if that's the case, then we ought to say maybe there's a urinary infection and that's the reason that she's bleeding. In which case, we would not be metame truma. We would not be chayav bias migdash. And therefore, we should say that it's not considered to be sveikot tame vada. So you see that if you have Rov and Karov, you go according to Rov, clear Raya to Rabbi Chanina. Omalei Rov, now wait a minute over here. What kind of Raya to Rabbi Chanina is this? You're talking about a case not only where it's a question of Rov and Karov, you're talking about Rov Umatsui. In other words, don't you have to first establish what is expected and standard? What would be the norm? The norm defined in bleeding is vaginal bleeding is 99% of the time has to do with menses. It doesn't have to do with urinary infections. So what kind of crazy thing is that? It's not only a question of Rov and Karov. It's a question of what's expected in terms of Matsui. Nobody would argue on that. Everybody would agree in that case to Rebbe Hanina. Rovu Matsui Karmet, that's what you bring me a riot from, says Rava to Abaye. Obviously, I mean, Rovu Matsui Lekamandi Amap. Nobody would say otherwise. The Tani Rebbe Chia. Dam hanimtza beprosdor chayavin alav al biyazmigdash v'sarfen alav asatruma. Because you see, says Rava. I mean, it says over here that if there's blood in the prosdor, so then you would be chayev on coming into the Beit HaMikdash, chatas, which means that it's a vadai, and you would be burning truma, which is a vadai, and therefore it seems pretty clear that goes beyond just the question of Rava. Now the problem is, Rava himself contradicts himself. Take away this vav, because it ruins the whole circuit. It's not vi omar Rava. Omar Rava. Now, after Rava himself is trying to say that the situation is unique, when it comes to a matsui, he contradicts himself by taking a look at the maimer of Rabbi Chia here in the Braita and saying that we actually derive the opposite from it. Because he says, Shema mina mid Rabbi Chia tlat. There's three things that we can learn from Rabbi Chia. First of all, Shema mina rov v'karov alok ha-karov. That's crazy. Rabbi just said, rov matsui, okim ha-karov keneged ha-karov, not just tamar rov. So here Rava is now agreeing exactly with what Abaye said, that this mimer is a raya actually to Rabbi Chanina. So that's number one. And this we'll get back to. Why is he contradicting himself? Vishmamina, we further see that Ruba diraita. Obviously, if we're going to be bringing a carbon and we're going to be burning truma, then we're talking about a diraita. And third of all, Shmamina, itala Rabbi Zera. That Rabbi Zera is correct, because there is a question about relying on Rov. Let's say the classic case of Rov, where you find a piece of meat in a city that has 9 kosher butcher shops and 1 non-kosher butcher shop, that we go according to the Rov. There is a shita that holds that the only time you could be semech la'aloch on a Rov is where you have 2 Rovs, a Ruba the Alma and a local Rov, which would mean that you would also need to have people coming into the city from the general area that would be keeping kosher. So then we could rely both on the rov of the meat bichlal around the city and the rov of the butchers in the city. Rabbi Zera says, no, it's absolutely not true. You could have a city that is closed off and doesn't allow traffic, and nonetheless, it would be exactly the same halacha. So Rabbi Zera said over there, afal pishat daltot medinan ulot, even though the city walls are closed, and certainly a woman is like a closed city. When we don't expect that any blood was going to get inside of her from elsewhere, so isha dechidaltot bidinanu ulot damya, and all that we need to determine is the status of that dam lahalocha based on the local rov, and we're paskening with the local rov. Vafilochikazin about aruba 100%, and we're being metameir because we're assuming that this rov is sufficient to define her as a nida. He says, well, what are you talking about? Rava just got finished saying a minute ago, Rava hutakama rov umatsui lekalamandiyama. He was the one that said that nobody would argue in a case where it's rov and matsui to think that we should say that this bleeding is some kind of urinary infection. Because why would we think such a thing? But not because rov and korov. So how does you bring a raya now to rov and korov? Well, hadabe rava miyahi. Actually, Rava clearly had charata. Because the truth is that you need to ask yourself whether a question of rove frequency is different than rove presence. I mean, it boils down to rove. So in other words, you're introducing this new concept of matsui. Why is that a new concept? Why aren't you just basically extending the idea of rove into time? That's all you're doing. So it really boils down to rove. So you're saying rove v'karov. That's what it boils down to. So therefore, Yad Charati agreed to Abaye that Rabbi Chanina is proven actually from this bright. Now let's see whether we have any kind of machlokas about this issue. Let's take an interesting case. Itmar. Chavit shetzafa b'nahar. We're going to see we're talking about Nahar Prat here, specifically, because that was the case. So you have now a barrel that is floating down the Euphrates. And it's found near a town, out in the water. Omar Rav, it depends where it's found. Nimtzeit k'neged ir shirubah Yisrael, mutar. So let's say you find it by Nardar, you find it by Matabacha, you find it by one of these towns along, a Jewish town along the Nahar Prat. So then you can assume that it's kosher wine, and it's mutar. But if you find it floating in the river, k'neged ir shirubah nochrim, then you have to assume it's tam yayin, and it would be asira. Whereas Shmuel says, no, it's always going to be asur, because I don't care where you found it. The question is where it came from. And upstream on the Euphrates, you've got the big town of Haidakra. And Haidakra is a non-Jewish city. And undoubtedly, it fell into the river upstream. That's where most things would come from. And therefore, Ema mi Haidakra atoy. Now that seems to be straight out a question of Rov and Korov. So they're arguing, in other words, about Rebbe Chanina, right? So apparently, Lema the Rebbe Chanina kam iflegit. Demar itle Rebbe Chanina. If you're saying that we always have to be worried that it's coming from Haidakra, so then you're telling me we should go Basar Rov. Umar, who says, no, look at the local situation, how close is it to a kosher city? So he apparently holds it should go according to the Korov. So Rav doesn't hold the Rebbe Chanina. Says the Gemara, no. Look, the Kuliyama eat the Rebbe Chanina. It may well be that everybody is made that Rov and Korov, Ruba Odif, and therefore you'd say, so why actually don't we have to assume that it's coming from Haidakra? Because the question over here is, how about Hokam Iflege? They're arguing about something else entirely. The Mar Sovar, you see, one man the Omar holds that im it, if you would want to believe that the Miahid Dikra Atoy, that it's coming from that town, from Hadikra, it never would have made it all the way down here to Naradok. Because Akula Yofashuri Havim Matveila, it would have been drowned long before with white water or with places where you have standing water that comes from melting snows, is Pshuri, that would have just soaked it there until it finally just sunk. And would not have been able to make it all the way down to one of these Jewish cities. Therefore, the situation shows that it is a question of Korov. Whereas Mar Sovar Shmuel says that's not necessarily true. Charifa de Nahara Nakat Vatoy. It may have caught the current right smack bang in the main flow of the river in the middle, and then get knocked off over here closer to the shore along the Jewish towns, but it could have made it all the way down if it was floating downstream in the current. But actually, if it wouldn't be for that problem, the logistical problem, Rav would also be made that we'd have to be going according to the Rov and not according to the Korov. Ahu Chatz B'Dachamid, another case that also seemed to involve the issue of Rov and Korov. There was a Chatz B'Dachamid Ishtakak B'Pardisa D'Orla. He found a little barrel of wine that was in a vineyard that was Orla, and the owner of the vineyard had no idea how that wine had gotten there. And the Shaila was, do we have to assume that it's Orla? It was an area of Rov Yisrael. Or can we assume that it came from one of the adjacent vineyards? So it was clearly stolen or something and put here to hide out until it would be recovered. So Ravina was matirit. So apparently Ravina is matirit because he holds that even though the Korov is Orla, the Rov is not Orla. So Lema Mishum, the Savalak Rebbe Chanina? No, not necessarily. Again, it may be logistical. What Ravina might have paskin was, no Ganev is going to steal the wine and then hide it in the same place that he stole it. That's just unreasonable. Therefore, if it's hidden here, it must be that it was not stolen from here. So, Shani Hatem, the Imigdav Mina, it's Nui Begavein, Lo Matzne, if it would have been stolen from the vineyard that was Orla, which was the Korov, and normally I might have passed him that we go according to the Korov, not like Rabbi Chanina, but in this case, I don't believe it came from the Korov for other reasons. And that's why I'm going according to the Rov. But maybe Enoch Inami. If it wouldn't be for that assumption, I would have gone according to the Korov, and I would have not agreed with Rabbi Chanina. Bahani Mile Chamra, this is only true about wine, because it would be absurd for me to steal the wine, since wine isn't usually found out in the vineyard. The only time I found wine in the vineyard is when we're processing it. But if we're processing it, it means that there's going to be workers there all the time. So they're going to find it. If I hit it, it's very likely that they'll find it. Why would I put it there? But if we're talking about Anavim, Anavim would be Mitznai, because people could have come in before the season, cut, before there were workers present, and hit it in order to recover. Now I recovered it, it's over there. If I don't hold the Rebbe Chanina, then Enochin I may have to go bust to the Korah. It's only if I would hold the Rebbe Chanina that I would say even on Avim, I would be martyred because of the rope. Hanu Ziki de Chamra, the Shtachan Bekupoi. Now Ziki de Chamra is an interesting thing. It's their equivalent of plastic bottle. Because instead of transporting the wine in real barrels that were extremely heavy, made out of charas, they made these little leather containers to be able to hold wine. Now, they were used for two purposes. They were used for conserving transportation costs and so on, and that would be for wholesalers to package them in disposable containers. But they were also used for travel. So, as you certainly, if you're carrying wine, you want to carry wine in a plastic container, or in their terms, in a leather container. It doesn't weigh anything. Yeah, right, exactly. So you would use skin for wine. So if you're traveling, then everybody uses plastic wine, plastic bottles for wine. If you're not traveling, then the only ones who did this, we'll see later on, was almost entirely Jewish merchants who used to do a lot of shipping of wine because of the special kosher market. So, but normally you wouldn't expect to find these things among non-Jewish merchants. They found Zikir Chamra, and later on the Gemara is going to discuss whether we're talking about small or large. Obviously that will define the case. So they found the Zikir Chamra that were in between vines in a Jewish vineyard. And the Shaila was over there whether they were mutter or not. Are they considered to be kosher wine or not? So Sharinu Rava. Rava was matirit. What we thought was that he was matirit because it was found locally, korov, to a kosher vineyard. So is that because, says the Gemara, Leimala Sarvala de Rabbi Chanina, he apparently holds that you go according to korov, even though it's connected to rov, where rov wine is not kosher? No, says the Gemara. Shainei Hatam, that's because Ruba, the Shkuchai Yisrael Ninu, most people who use these disposable containers are Jewish. And you don't say rove wine, you say rove portable wine. But hanimila biravrivi, that's only if you're talking about the very large bags of wine. You know, they started selling milk in the 2-liter size in a plastic. That's already only the Jews could come up with that. Although in Canada they do that. they have the love. Okay, it's Canadians, Jews, it's all the same kind of thing. You know, but so hani mili biravrivi. Avol zutre, if you're talking about little bottles that people would want to take on the road, everybody packages wine if they're on the road in disposable bottles. So then, inachinami, then if you hold of Rabbi Chanin, you'd have to go bust the roof. And there, emami ovre drachim nafal, may have fallen from stam, somebody who was traveling. The iika rabrevi bahadayu. Now, what's interesting is, let's say suppose you find small ones together with large ones. Then we would be saying that it was Jewish. Because I would say the reason that I have the little ones with it was for balancing load purposes. So maybe they had like a heavier barrel on one side. They added some, because otherwise the animal has a hard time transporting it. That they were sitting there on the animal's back to balance. Our dear president, give it a roar.
Dr.
Commissioner. Now we've been talking, until now we've been talking about the concerns of neighbors. Now we have issues that concern us about the city as a whole. So we spoke about distancing an ilan from a bor, which we've spoken about many times, we're going to speak about again later. Now there's a separate halacha, we'll discuss what the point is of this halacha, of distancing trees from the outside of the city. And it needs to be 25 amot, and if you're talking about trees that have a lot of branches, like sycamore or carob. So you're talking about charuv or b'shikma, you have to distance it 50 amot. Abba sha'ul omer, for that matter, kol ilan srak chamishim amot. Any non-fruit-bearing tree should be distanced 50 amot from a town. Now, imayir kadma, if the city was there first and you planted the tree illegally, so then kotzitz, you're going to have to cut down the tree ve'inono ten damim, the city is not going to compensate you for cutting down your tree. But if the ilan was there first, im ilan kadam, so then you'll have to cut down the tree, but at least you'll be able to get compensation. V'notein damim. Safek zekadam v'safek zekadam. If it's not clear which one was there first, kotzeitz, you have to cut down the tree for sure anyway. And eno notein damim, and in that case, you don't get your compensation. All this will be discussed in the Gemara. My taima, what is the reason for needing to be marchik an ilan 25 amas from the city's border? Omar ula mishum noye ha'ir. It's because we want to keep the city beautiful. Says the Gemara, v'tepekle de'eno sin sadeh migrash v'lo migrash sadeh. Then why do you come on to the din of noye ha'ir and 25 amot? The halacha is that you need to have 1,000 amot, which we learn out from the Orei Leviim. 1,000 amot outside of the city. The Torah gives us two measurements, alpayim amot and elef amot. So the Gemara learns from there that the first 1,000 amot outside of the city are there to be kept as completely flat parkland, because that allows the city to be there in all of its glory as you approach. And 1,000 amot beyond that are for local agriculture, or for sadot. So if anyway you need to keep the area mowed, so obviously you can't plant trees there. So why are we talking about Noye Ha'ir and 25 Amot? Now, I mean, then it has nothing to do with Ula. It's a little bit strange, right? First we ask why. Ula comes up with the reason Noye Ha'ir, and then we say typically. I mean, that's crazy. We should have said, by time the Mishnah says 25 Amot. The din is it has to be 1,000 Amot because of the Halacha of Migrash Sadeh. What does that have to do with Ula? So here's a very fast, I mean, there's other approaches, that it's just the way that the Gemara does it, but they don't think, I mean, we could have asked it in general, but the Ramban has a beautiful approach. Ramban says like this, the din, the truth is about Machlokas Rishonim, as I'll tell you in a moment, but the din, he assumes, of Migrash Sadeh, and Sadeh Migrash, is a halakha that is said only Legabe Arim and Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we thought that it was referring to over here some halakha that had to do with Nezek. You know, whatever, beehives, I don't know, but you can't keep it too clean, close to the city. So we ask, okay, what are we referring to? What's the reason for 25 Amot? Comes on Gula and he says it's because the city has to be beautiful. Says Rabban, obviously that can't be a reference to cities outside of Eretz Yisrael, because we would want them to be ugly. We don't want to encourage people to actually like living in Borough Park.
A nice place to visit, three girls in Brooklyn.
So therefore, once Ula came up with the svara that it's because of Noye Ha'ir, now we're asking if it's because of Noye Ha'ir. So then you're talking about Eretz Yisrael. You're talking about Eretz Yisrael, so you have a din of Elef Amma anyway. So how do you come up with 25 Amot? Very cute. Of course, the Chassam Sofer, the famous Chassam Sofer, this is actually where the Makor of the Chassam Sofer, the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, always used to speak about the Chassam Sofer. We used to talk about the yeshiva being the equivalent of Eretz Yisrael. But that was the basis, the Chassam Sofer says. But that would imply that the Ramban is saying this, you don't want people to think that their cities are nice so that they should all be making aliyah. But how about if you paskin that you're not allowed to leave Eretz Bavel, because that's the book of the Yishuv and the Yeshivas and so on, you shouldn't leave. So then according to that, it wouldn't be so. So the Gemara is only asking, says the Chassam Sofer, you see, according to Ula, who holds that you, the Gemara says all over that Ula used to come to Eretz Yisrael all the time. So obviously he didn't hold it with us to be like this. So it's all the Shittaso that he's saying that no, it's okay to have, that the cities in fact should be ugly. So then if the Ramban is saying, if you're allowed to come and make aliyah, but if you don't hold this, then this would be true of what's Lawrence also, says the Chassam Sofer. Anyway, Lamaisa, there's a big machlokas Rishon. There's really three Shittot. This halacha of Elef Amma and Alpayim Amma occurs in the Torah only in terms of Arei Halevim, correct? Rashi holds that the din is said only on an ear amukefet choma mimot Yoshua ben Nun. In which case, the whole Gemara's kash is limited to particular cases. So it wouldn't be a general question. The Rambam learns that it's going on all cities in Eretz Yisrael. Many of the Mefarshei Rambam bring a raya that it's only mitame gezeira. That the Rambam's also moida that it's not a diorite on anything but Orei Halevi, all of which were mukaf chayma for. There is a shita of the Ramah that says that it's true even in Chutzlaret as a gezeira. In other words, once we learn out the inyan of the chashivut of a city, of obviously for Yisrael, a city of Yisrael that is meant to have certain advantages of chashivut of a city, not only the mechitza of a city, so then it would be true in Chutzlaret as well. So that means that there would be a lot of different approaches as to what this Noye Ha'ir is. But if we're assuming Noye Ha'ir according to Ramah, even in Chutzlaret, so the Gemara's kasha of Sodom Mikrash would also be even a Chutzlaret. So in any event, how do you explain, therefore, the halacha of 25 amot if l'chore you're not allowed to plant anything within 1,000 amot? Says the Gemara, lo tzricha l'Rabbi Eliezer, the shaila is over here, If you hold, according to Rabbi Elazar, who says, Othim sadeh migrash, umigrash sadeh, he holds you have a right to invert it. All the Torah is saying is that you need to have a kilometer for each usage, for each parkland and agricultural land. So, however, one thing is for sure, 25 amot needs to be cleared. Because otherwise there's no clear demarcation, the city doesn't even appear to you until you're already there, and that's not nice. So if the last 25 amot before you get to the city should be unobstructed, no signs, trees, and other things in the way. And the truth is, even according to Rabban and Nami, the Amri Enos in Sadeh Migrash, Velo Migrash Sadeh, Hani Mile Zraim. What this means is you can't plant Tfu'ah. That's all it means. It doesn't mean you can't have trees. Trees are considered to be parkland. So Mamela, and we're going to bring a raya to that, that trees are parkland, and therefore they are not in any way a contradiction to the usage of the city as Migrash, that any park would have trees in it. And normally, ilanot avdina, you could certainly plant trees all through that kilometer that is outside of the city. But because of the Noe Ha'ir, 25 amot are left free even from trees in parkland. That's the point. How do you know, by the way, says the Gemara, how do you know that the Torah doesn't want actually empty, smooth area outside of a city? How are you so sure that trees are considered to be part of the usage of parkland? Oh, that I have a clear raya for, says the Gemara, the Tanya. In order... In order to understand this properly, we need to just have one brief moment to discuss the din of Karfaf. Remember that midiyoraita, there are no dinim to the size of an area that's incorporated within a machitza to give it a din legabe Shabbos of Rishut Hayachid. The Rabbanon gave various gizerot in which areas that would appear to be similar to Rishut Rabim should have a din min Rabbanon of Rishut Rabim. One of that ideas is the Chatzar Mishkan. The Chatzar Mishkan, which was the size of Beit Sa'ataim, was a public area, and therefore, unless such an area was meant specifically for usage of living in, people would confuse it with Rishut Rabim. So therefore, a karfaf being an area that it's not directly associated with a home, where it's in back of houses as opposed to a chatzar, that is larger than that size of the Chatzar HaMishka, so it's Yoter Mibeit Sa'atayim, if it wasn't made for purposes of living in, so it's for storage or for growing things, then it's considered to be Min Rabbanan, the equivalent of Rishut HaRam. You can't be Metaltal in Kutzla Arba Amot. If, however, it's Hukaf L'dira, so you made it in order for it to be a place that you're going to do your living in, even though it's a large place, that's fine. It's like any other Rishut HaYachid. Now here's where we get into the question of the difference between trees and plants. Because it says Karfaf Yoter Mibeit Sa'atayim that was originally Hukaf Ledira. And now you planted it, and it was Nizra Rubo, so then it loses its din of a Karfaf Shukaf Ledira, and it becomes a Gina. And then it's Osir to carry it on Shabbat, because it's no longer purposes of living. But if you planted it full of trees, it still has a din of a chatzar. And then it's mutter to carry it. So you see from there that trees are considered to be parkland. And that is a dira, in which case there's clearly a difference, la'alaka, between trees and zroyim. Zroyim are a contradiction to a city, whereas trees are an addition to a city. They're the park of a city. If that's the case, it would be true legabe migrash and sadeh in the Torah as well. Lovely, no? Contemporary. Wonderful. Where's that Richie smile? Now that's the Shiloh. What type of green belt do we want around the city? Okay, continues the Gemara now. We said in the Mishnah that Ima Ir Kadma Kotseitz, the Inonotin Dami. Now, why is it that when it comes to the sugya of the bor, where you're not supposed to have a tree within 25 amot of another guy's bor, over there it says Kotseitz, Vinotin Dami. And over here it says that Kotseitz, Vinonotin Dami. Why is that? Omer of Kana, well, let's face facts. I mean, are you really going to get money out of the city? it's a kidu de veshutve. It's basically, it's what people say, kidu de veshutve lo chamime velo karimi. If there's too many cooks, then they're going to spoil the stew. So that the pot that has two people that are in charge of it never gets properly warm and never gets properly cooled. Everybody is trying to fix it for themselves. It ends up being wrecked. So who are you going to go to collect from in the city? What do you, Okay, so first of all, I didn't say what the question. My kusha, but why is it a problem? Isn't there clearly a difference between Hezekah the Rabbim and Hezekah the Yochid? I mean, there's concepts of eminent domain. I mean, why would you think it's a problem to say that if you had an illegal thing that the city can order you to cut it down and not offer your compensation? I understand. I do understand that where the reason that you're avoiding this, what we made it illegal, is because of your relationships with your neighbor, then fine, there should be financial compensation. So I can't believe that Rav Kahana needed to say Kikir Devei Shutvi on this. Oh, you're right. That was a mistake. Yidman Rav Kahana Asseifa. Actually, Rav Kahana did give a pshat like that. But of course it was Asseifa. The Seifa is a little bit strange. It says, Ima Ilan Kadam. If the tree was there, so I mean, he's got every right to put the tree there. Now, you're not going to tell me I don't get compensation. Yet, what does it say? Cut it down and get compensation. Oh man, cut it down and get compensation. Who am I going to talk to exactly? Why can't I say to them, why don't you give me my compensation first? You know, and then I'll cut it down. So why does the Mishnah say, Kotzeitz v'lo tein dami? It was on that that Rav Kahana said, Kidir v'lo shutve lo chamima v'lo karira. Look, who's going to take action? If I'm going to go and I'm going to say, well, I'm ready to cut down the tree as soon as I get my check, who do you think is going to take action? If the guy has to cut down his tree, he's going to sue the city. If he sues the city, then the courts will take action. So he's going to take action, but certainly nobody in the town. So somebody's going to get a letter. Okay, so bureaucrat gets a letter. There's a tree at such and such a place, needs to be compensated for to be cut down. So he sends it over to the city council. City council says, we don't have any budgetary allocation for this year. Let's stuff it inside of the to-do next year. And the tree never gets cut down. But since this is a din that we're trying to establish for the Torah HaRabim, we tell the guy, cut it down. Now, we know once he wants his money, he's going to see to it that the courts will get involved. So then he'll get his money. But if we leave it up to the town to act, it's not going to happen. And so, Mamela, this is the way we made the takana. That's what Rav Kahana was saying, tongue-in-cheek. But clearly, that's the issue. You'd never get your money, and the tree would never be get cut down if you're going to wait first to get the money from the town. Suffix zekadam, suffix zekadam. Therefore, we made it his problem. And by making it his problem, we know that it'll be taken care of. We need to give it into the hands of somebody to take care of. So, suffix zekadam, kotzeit sveino noten damim. Now, here it says, if I can't establish who came first, I still have to cut it down, but I can't collect my compensation.
What, the order of the city is being set?
Yeah. Which one got within 25 amot first?
What is usually said?
Whatever, even if it expanded. Who was here first within 25 amot? Me or them?
Official city boundary that's...
No, it's the actual building. It's not some kind of theoretical boundary. Either a wall or homes. So now, why is it that when it came to the bor, we say that he doesn't have to cut it at all if we can't establish who was there first? There is not mechuyav to cut it down. And over here, you're saying, well, he'll definitely have to cut it down. Well, obviously, because, look, hatam, where if it would be vadai that he was there first, then we wouldn't cut it down at all. So we're not going to cut it down until you can prove that the boar was there first. So over there, with a vadai, lavla mekatskoi, so then the sveka nami, lamni leko. I'm going to tell a guy, cut down a tree, mitzad asafik. Mashenkin over here, even if we know who's there first. I mean, no matter what the situation is, he's going to have to cut down his tree. Now the only question is whether he's going to get paid for it. No. So that's a general motzibik of Erol of Araya. So first we say to him, look, quotes, I imisham dami. So now he's saying, but I want my money.
Okay.
But remember that the katzitz always comes first anyway, right? Even if he is going to get compensation. You go ahead and be coach, that's the din. So now you want to come to the courts and sue the city. Okay, well, the court's going to tell you, so bring a raya that you're supposed to be compensated. You can't prove that you were there first, so obviously we're not going to pay you. See, mishum dami, I'm reading a late raya. First bring proof that you're supposed to be compensated, and then shkol. Marchikim et goren kavua min ha'ir chamishim ama. Just... Well, you're always on a little bit of a time lapse over here. We need a buffer.
25 hours.
All right. You're right. I mean, I didn't wait for you to give your announcement, so you're completely within your rights. No. You're completely within your rights to ask. So you're saying, what's the nafkamina? If you hold the kolilan sra. So we understand the difference between the sycamore tree and the carob tree. That's just in terms of additional branches. The reason that we say mishum noyeya ir, if you hold the kolilan sra, marchikin, is because a tree deserves, a city deserves pretty trees. And fruit trees are pretty trees. They're not producing. they don't have the same chashivut. Right? So we want to have a beautiful apple orchard outside of the city. That's beautiful. Chinese almond. That's beautiful. But we don't want Stam Yilan Otsra. Very good. You're on now. Among other things that we need to take care of from a public area is to remove a goren. So marchikinat goren kavua min ha'ir 50 ama. If you have a goren that is permanently set up, I'm just going to define what that means later. It has to be 50 amot from the city because it makes an awful mess. Because a goren kavua has constant chaff flying from it, and you'll end up being like in a rova where you leave your window open for 5 minutes and you have to dust the entire house. So therefore, you cannot have that kind of thing close to a city. Lo yaaseh adam goren kavua betok shalo. And for that matter, if you have your own property, you cannot put a goren in the middle of your property unless you've got chamishim amala kol ruach, because you're going to damage your neighbors. Umarchik minitiyotav shel chavero uminiro betek shalo yazik. And it has to be distanced. Now you'll notice that over here it doesn't say chamishim amah. It seems to be saying just make sure that you don't cause actual damage to the things that he's planted and to his field, which has been near. Now, near is a little bit strange. I mean, it doesn't seem like you could damage it. Stay near. Near means a field that was plowed in order just to make sure that the earth would be sufficiently softened for next year's planting. It's like, you're going to leave it this way the whole season. So what's so terrible about having chaff in it? It's good. What do you mean? It's good. It fertilizes it, no? So the Gemara is going to ask, what possible damage could you be doing by having chaff on plants or on a stay near? Okay, but first let's determine why it is that initially we said it's 50 amot, but when it came to being close to another guy's field or garden, then it's just whatever it is. B'chtei shelo yazik. I mean, why don't we always make it b'chtei shelo yazik? So ma'ishna resha, ma'ishna seifa. Omer Abaya, well, you see, the Seifa is referring to a different situation. The Reisha says, Beferish Marchikim et Agoren Kavua. But the last says, Marchik minetiyotav shel chavero, that's not referring to Agoren Kavua. That's saying if you're going to be doing any winnowing, even though it's not Agoren Kavua, make sure that damages don't happen from it. Maybe that's the point. So the safe is Atam the Goren She'ino Kavua. And what would determine Goren Kavua versus Goren She'ino Kavua? That would be as follows. Echidame Goren She'ino Kavua, Omre Ba'yosi Berevi Hanina, Kol She'ino Zora Berechet. Basically, if you have to use a pitchfork to throw up the grain, so then that means you've got a large pile here. And by definition, since you're going to throw it up into the wind, it's going to scatter a large distance. But if you've got a goren that doesn't need throwing into the wind, you just sort of spread out the grain, and you let the wind blow over it. So then if you blow over it, it'll eventually get clean from the chaff, but it's not going to go very far. So that's the kind of thing you do for a little while when you have a little bit of grain just to clean off. And there, you just have to make sure that the chaff doesn't cause damage to anybody, because it isn't going to be kavur, it won't go very far. You don't need chamishim ama. So there, it's only kadesh shelo yazik. Not necessarily. There's different grains, remember. It goes over a long period. There's the period of the katsirs. The shvuos katsirs, the whole period of Pesach and shvuos. So there's kadesh shelo yazik. How about the brayta that makes it very clear? Rav Ashi ama, matam ka ama. The seifa is not a different case. And the seifa is not offering another shear. The seifa is offering an explanation. What it's saying is, you should have chamishim amala kol ruach kedei to be marchik from the tiyotav shel chavero uviniro in order that it shouldn't be mazik. That's the point. So kedei shelo yazik simply means the 50 amot is there to assure that you won't be mazik anybody. And it's ma tonk, my timer, marchikin goren kavua menayir chamishim ama, kedei shelo yazik, meitfe. Marchikin goren kavua menayir chamishim ama, ukeshem shemarchikin menayir chamishim ama, kach marchikin medilu avu mikshu avu menetiotav, uminiro shel chavero chamishim ama, kedei shelo yazik. Now, According to Ravashi, this is very good. Because, I mean, it's not a kash according to a buyer, because you could say it's referring to a goren kavua, right? But nonetheless, since the braita is coming now to paraphrase the Mishnah in greater detail, as Tosfos explains, and that paraphrase means that the last piece that's talking about distancing in the braita that says 50 amot is supposed to be the explanation of the Kadesh Lo Yazik in the Mishnah. So that only works, I'll leave it to Rav Ashi, who says the Mishnah was never talking about anything but Chamishim Amah, and was just giving you an explanation of why you need Chamishim Amah. But according to Abaye, who says that, no, there's two different cases, one a Goren Kavua, one a Goren Shein Kavua, well, there's no remiss to that in the Braita at all. The Braita reads the Mishnah as a Mata. So, I mean, although the Halakha in the Braita is not a question on Abaye, but certainly the structure of the Abaye as a paraphrase of the Mishnah is a problem to Abaye. So Bishleim Rav Ashi Neich, according to Rav Ashi, it's a perfect paraphrase. By a kasha, okay, kasha, fine. I mean, it's not fatal. There's no problem lahalacha here. Now, let me just get the logistics straight. I mean, I understand why you would need to distance a lot of chaff from the mikshuav and migluav. I mean, yes, if you've got a pumpkin patch, then that's because ozil afka. Because, look, this chaff, this dust, is going to settle down, va'ati belibe, and it's going to dry out the fruit, the vegetables. So matzvah, it's going to draw the moisture out. But what's wrong with having chaff in a stain near? That I don't understand. Am I? Omer v'bava barzaf, v'itemer v'bava azutri, v'pnei she'ose oto galal. The point is that it creates so much nitrogen content in the ground because it decays, and now it over-fertilizes to the point that it damages the plant. They can't take it. It would be like planting in pure fertilizer. Can you plant in galal? No. You have to plant in earth that has a certain amount of fertilizer. But if this stuff is going to be sitting with chaff the entire season and have it all decay into the near, it's organic material, and it ends up being too rich in nitrogen for the plants that you're going to plant. No, this is not. You can't plant in pure manure. And according to that, why not just plant in manure? You can't. Omer Abai, afana nami tenina, dam shenimtza beprozdor sveko tamei, shechezkato mena mekor, ve'af agav di'ika aliyah dimekarva. You see, you go according to the road. Omer le Rova, no, Rova matzui karnet, Rova matzui lekalaman di Omar. Everybody would agree to that. The Tani Rabbi Fia Dama nim tzaber prozdor chayavim alav abiyat mikdash sorfen alav atatruma. So that's vadai tami. Omer Rova shma mina min Rabbi Fia tla shma mina Rova kavua vekaro halecha achar aro shma mina ruba diaraita ushma mina itel Rabbi Zer the Rabbi Zer hafo pishetal tot medidan ulot. Because certainly an isha is ki latot medinan yinolot damya, and a filoachi kazlinam bataruba. The same thing would be true about teisha chanuyot, says Rabbi Zera. Now wait a minute. It was Rava who just said Rova matsui is different than Rov versus Korov, and there's lekalam on the omer. Well, apparently Odabe Rava meayi itma chavi chitzafa benoram a Rav nimtzet keneged ir shuba Yisrael et muta keneged ir shuba nochrim et asira. Where Shmuel says, "Afil nimtzes kedegedir shuva yisrael tzasira," because you have to be chayish that it was mihai tikra atay. So leima with Rabbi Chanina come miflege, mar ita the Rabbi Chanina, and therefore ignores the korov which is Shmuel. Umar letle the Rabbi Chanina, and he goes according to the korov even against the rov. Lo kuleyami could ita the Rabbi Chanina. Question over here may be logistical. Log about the miflege, mar sabar im ita the mihai tikra atoy. So then it never would have made it all the way down here. Akula yav shuri ave mitve ela. Umar sabar, well, you never know. It could have been caught in the harifat or nokavatai. Ahu chatz v'lechame tishkakak v'pardis de orla. Sharia ravina, apparently, lemav shudasav l'rebbe chanina. That even though it's korov to orla, but the rove is non-orla. No. It could be because shani hatam, the imignav mina, then it would be a little bit silly to be atzniyah begavei, lo matzniyah. But hani mi lechamra, avo inve matzniyah. Now hani zikah dechamra tishtakan bekupoi, and nonetheless shalanu rova. So apparently, he holds you can rely on the local conditions without worrying about the rubani alma, right? So lema lo sova lo rebbe chanina? No. It's because even the ruba is kosher. Shanei hatam, the ruba dishvochai, are Yisrael Ninu. But of course, this would only be Animila Barabravi. Because everybody uses portable bottles. The Ika Ravravi Badayu, then Enochinami, we can go back to trusting it's Yisrael, because Ema Bavruri Havimatri. Marchikina Tailan Maneir Asuma Hamesh Amotu Vecharuva Vashikma, Hamishimama, Abba Shulomer, Kol Ilan Sra, Hamishimama, the Ima Ir Kadma, Kotsets Venonotendamim, Imi Ilan Kadam, Kotsets Venotendamim. Sof exekadam, kotseitz venonotendamim, maitaima, omar ula mishum no ye ha'ir. Wait a minute, so typically, you know, it's in Sada Migrash, ulo migrash sadeh, lo tzrich, ala lo rebelos, the omar osin sadeh migrash, migrash sadeh, bar hacha mishum no ye ha'ir, the last 25 amot lo avdina. And the truth is, even according to Rabbanu, the Amri, that's only Zra'im, but there's no problem with planting Ilanot. Ilanot Avdina. It's only the last 25 Amot, Mishum Noya Irlo. Uminot Tema, the Shani Ben Zra'im Le Ilanot. The Tanya, Karfaf, Ketarvi Beit Zatayim. Shukaf Le Dira, Nizra Rubo, it goes back to being a Gina and becomes Osir. But if Nitaribo, it remains a Chotzer and its waters. You see that parks are made of trees. How come Gabi Bor Tani Kotseitz Vinotendamim? Umajnaotendamim. Omer of Kana, well, it's because Kidder de Veshutri Lochamir of Lokarira. My Kusha. Dimashani Zeker Rami, Zeker Yofim, no? And the Idma of Kana, Sefer Idma. Ima Ilan Kadam, Kotseitz Vinotendamim. The question is, why first Kotseitz and then Damim? Lamelahu have a liberation dummy, and then I'll go ahead and be kotzeitz. Omer of Kana, that's because kiddur veshutfoy, lo chamime velo karira. Sof exekadam kotzeitz venonotot dummy. Maishnami bor. Well, over there he said lo yakutz. Because hatam varai is lavlo mekatskoy, in which case the sofik, we can't force the guy to be kotz. Mashenkin hachar, where the varai is anyway lo mekatskoy. So then the Sveikonami Ami and Lekotz. I will say, so let him get paid. Imishum Domi, we say to him, Aite Raya Ushko. Marchikin et agorn kavua mena ir chamishimama. Lo yaseh adam gorn kavua betok shelo, ela imken yesh lo chamishimama lako ruach. And marchik minet yotav shechavero miniro, bechtei shelo yazik. Now, how come this bechtei shelo yazik doesn't give us shir? Maishna reisha, maishna sefer. On Rabbi, because the Seifa is referring to a Goren that's not Kavua. Hechid Omi Goren Shein Kavua. On Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Kol Sheino Zora Berechet. Rav Ashi Omar, no, it's all one thing. It's Matamka Omar. Mataima Marchikin Goren Kavua Menir Chamishimama. Kedei Shalo Yazik. Meitve Marchikin Goren Kavua Menir Chamishimama. Uche Shem Shemarchikin Menir Chamishimama. Kach marchikin midiluav mikshuav netiotav miroshe chavero chamishimama note that please kedei shelo yazik. So basically the Rav Ashi Necher, it's all one thing. But according to Abaye, he said the last piece was meant to be a different halacha lagavi garn sheino kavua kasha. Okay, kasha. Anyway, mishlami mikshuotav midiluav. I understand why. It's because Ozilavka va'ati belibe, and it's going to be matzvile. But Nero? What damage can you do to Nero? Omre v'ava barzav, v'temer v'ava barzutra, v'pnesha oseo to galal.